How many of our veterans do we have here this morning? We have veterans here? Would you stand, please? Thank you. You have given us a lot. I don't know why I'm buzzing. I'm just going to switch to this microphone, Aaron. This country was founded on principles of freedom. And there have been men and women throughout our history that have given of themselves and they have given freely. Now, you've heard the phrase, freedom is not free. Many lives have been given over the years for the freedom that we enjoy. The freedoms that we enjoy today to come and worship our God as we see fit have been bought and paid for by the blood of men and women for the United States of America in fighting for us. And I didn't really understand this until about 6 or 7 years ago. I started riding motorcycles with a church member of mine. He was looking for a Christian environment to ride motorcycles. You see, he had been the president of the Diablos out of San Diego, and they're a pretty bad organization. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But he had gotten Jesus. He said his conversion started at 90 miles an hour, hit a guardrail, flew 120 feet through the air, and the last thing he saw before he blacked out was a sign on a church porch that said, God loves you, and then he hit the front porch steps. And that's when he says his conversion experience started. But he wanted to have Christians to ride with. So I bought his old motorcycle, and we started riding together, and we would go to places on Memorial Day where Vietnam veterans were gathering. And I started hearing them walk by each other and say, thank you. And I didn't understand. And so one day I said, Jack, why did you thank that man? What did he do for you? And why, and in turn, did he thank you back? Now, those of you who are old enough to remember our brave men coming home from World War II, there was a great celebration. They were heroes. And some of you are old enough to remember when World War I came to an end, and those men came home heroes. Parades were thrown for them. Celebrations were thrown for them. But there were brave men and women who gave their life in other wars that weren't so popular. And so they started saying thank you to one another for the sacrifice that they had given, just like everyone else. And that got my attention. Whether we like the war or not, there are brave men and women giving their life for our freedom. And we need to say thank you. And in all these wars that we have, you know, the Bible says there'll be wars and rumors of wars as the time comes to an end for this earth's history. And we will find brave men and women out there on the battlefield, not just trusting in their training, not just trusting in their guns, but trusting in their God. And so today, I want to say thank you to you veterans that have given so much. We can't measure it. On November 11, just in a few days, is Veterans Day. I want you to take some time that day and thank a veteran. If you can't find one, thank God for the men and women who had the courage to stand up for you. Veterans come in all shapes, sizes, and Jack was one of those people who taught me a lesson. You see, he had been suffering for 30 years plus with night sweats and nightmares from what he and no other human being should have seen in Vietnam. But one of the stories he told me that touched my heart, and I just want to tie this into the whole sermon that you're going to hear today, is that we all have our place. We all have our purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jack was one of these people. As I said, he was a pretty bad dude when he wasn't serving God. He wanted to die. He did not want to live. His life was so terrible that every mission that came his way when he was in Vietnam, that was a suicide mission, he volunteered for it. He didn't do one tour of duty. He didn't do two tours of duty. He did three tours of duty in Vietnam. and was volunteering for a fourth when they sent him home. But 2 weeks before he was to come home, there was some new recruits came over, and they called them newbies. Any of you were in Vietnam, you probably know this happens. But the newbies would come in, and they would harass those newbies for the last 2 weeks of their stay there as the newbies were getting broken in. And they were out in the courtyard, Jack would told this story, and they were hazing or harassing some of these newbies. And all of a sudden, there was a thud in their midst. And then an explosion. One of those newbies, one of those people that Jack did not know, gave his life for all the rest of them. Because when there was a thud, he saw the grenade that had been launched into their camp, and he fell on it, took the brunt of the explosion, and gave his life. Jack never forgot that. And I had the privilege of riding in the ride called the Ride to the Wall. Starts in California, goes all the way across the country to Washington, D.C. There's a parade there of motorcycles. It's called Rolling Thunder. Didn't understand that till I got there. When you have 280,000 motorcycles start up at one time, you understand Rolling Thunder. Jack and his three buddies that had been to Vietnam with him, they had planned this. They had gone on the internet and found all of the men who were killed in action from their 182nd Airborne while they were there in Vietnam. And they had gone, found the plates and the lines and wherever, and they went and they honored those men that died giving their lives for us. And Jack had told me about this story, about this soldier who had given his life for him, didn't quite know what to do with it. And after they had done what they had planned to, I noticed Jack was down the wall a ways, and he was just leaning against the wall with his hand on it, sobbing. I walked over, and I just put my arm around him, and I just held him close. You see, that was the name. The name of the man who had saved his life. We don't have a place where we can go and do that. But we are all here today because a man named Jesus gave his life. We're all veterans in some way. Some have fought wars with guns. Some have fought wars with demons. Some have fought wars with family. We as a church are family. And we as a church haven't always been good to ourselves. Today I want to take a look at God's family in light of what he's done for us. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version, starting with verse number 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are no longer foreigners and strangers. I want to take a look at kind of what that means, because one of my favorite groups sings a song that says I am a foreigner and I'm an alien because my citizenship is in heaven. God has placed me here on this earth for a reason, a purpose, and all of us need to find that reason and purpose. That day in Washington, D.C., in front of the Vietnam Memorial, my purpose was to stand beside my brother and share with him that his experience with that man in Vietnam was the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ giving his life for us when we were enemies with God. You see, this man that gave his life, he was not a friend to any of those people. They were harassing him and hazing him as a newbie. When Jesus came, he was not a friend. We crucified him. And I say we today because we like to think back, well, if we'd been there, it would have been different. But Jesus' closest followers, even Peter who said, I will die for you, Jesus, Peter ran when Jesus needed them the most. So we might, in the comfort of 2008, say that wouldn't have been us. But Jesus' friends ran when he needed them. So we were enemies with God. He died for us. Being a foreigner, we're no longer strangers or aliens. Aliens, if they're here in the country, they have certain rights and privileges. When I travel around the world, I become an alien, but I'm there and I have rights and privileges. Those people in the Old Testament were seen as Gentiles, non-Jews. And so they were aliens, but they did have some rights. And then there were foreigners. They had no rights and privileges in the community. And the Bible here says, we are no longer strangers, we are no longer foreigners, but we are family. We're part of the body of Christ. And we were built on a foundation. Now, foundations, you know, you remember singing the song as a child, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Now, all of us who live in Arizona are very foolish because there's nothing but sand around us. We dig down deep and we put in concrete to take the place of rock, but it's still surrounded by sand. What happens to the sand foundation of a house? It gets a little wobbly. Who brings us that strong foundation in our life? The Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation is Jesus Christ himself. We are being fitted according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. We're being fitted together. God is placing us. Have you ever thought of it that way? When God brings together his church and his people, we like to say, well, I'm going to fit in here or I'm going to fit in there. But God is the one who does the placing. Because you see, the Bible tells me that when we are adopted into God's family, and I learned this morning from Wendy Plummer, that November is adoption month, National Adoption Month. If you didn't know that, we are being adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross. So all of us have been adopted. You know what that means? We have been chosen in a special way by God himself. How many of you have had one of those spiritual gift seminars to find out what your gift is that you have? Just two or three? The rest of you aren't willing to admit it, huh? Because then you're going to know what I'm asking. Well, why aren't you using it? Well, no, I'm not. We've been given those spiritual gifts, and some of us find that we have the gift of hospitality. Where do you think that person would fit in best within the church family? Today we have a fellowship lunch. Maybe they would fit in the fellowship lunch committee, putting that together. Another place that people who have the gift of hospitality might be found is out at the front door as greeters. Sometimes we ask people to be greeters just because they're a body and we need somebody to fill the space. But when you walk into a church and somebody has that gift to make you feel welcome, to make you glad you're there, isn't that a good feeling? Don't you want to go back? God has gifted people with that gift. We need to use them for that. There's all types of spiritual gifts. There's two lists in the New Testament. And if you read through both of those lists, you're not going to find the one that most of us exercise the most. We think it's a spiritual gift, but it's just an excuse. You know what that spiritual gift we call it is? It's called pew warming. That's not a spiritual gift. You come in here to church, and yes, you warm up the pew. That's great to have you here, but that's not a spiritual gift. God has given you something to be a part of this body, to be a stone that he can place in his church to build it up. When I was in college, I went on a mission trip, and we were going to be building a block church. I had had some block laying experience. It was wonderful. I helped put together a septic tank. Now, where do septic tanks reside? When it's all done, you cover it up. It doesn't have to look good. It doesn't have to have straight lines. The walls don't even have to be square. It just has to fit together so you can cover it up with dirt. Well, I was going on this trip in college, and I had done that only in high school. Going on this trip in college, and there was only two of us out of the 35 that had block laying experience. So we were going to be getting a lot of work laying block. And there were two contractors who were going with us to show us how to do it. And that was great. We were glad they were going. We all had to drive down on a bus that Noah used to transport his workers. It was an old school bus that had been used at a summer camp for a summer camp bus. And they didn't use it anymore because it was falling apart. So they let us take it to Mexico. And I was one of those drivers. And we drove 48 hours of driving to get to this place. The contractors, they had the easy part. They just flew in an airplane. But somewhere they had stopped, gotten some food, and gotten really sick. And when they landed at the airport, they said, "We just want to let you know we're safe, we're okay, but we're going home. We're both very sick." There was a concrete slab and a pile of blocks. And we were to build a church. I went over and I said, "Could you please come and lay a corner to get us started?" Because it's important to start the building not only on a good foundation, but laying that cornerstone in the correct manner. If you get that right, you can build the rest of the building. And one of the contractors was able to pull himself out of the airplane, go over and lay about 7 or 8 blocks to get us started. It's important to have a good foundation. It's important to have a good cornerstone. And the rest of us, we are built on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our foundation and our cornerstone. And the rest of us, God places where he wants us and needs us for his church. Isn't that a neat thing for you and I to know that God is placing us where he needs us? And those of you who have been blessed enough to find in your life your place, you are happy and satisfied, fulfilling the mission that God has given you. Because you see, God is using us. Not Pastor Gary and I, not the nominating committee, not the church board, but God is using us in this place, in this church, for his purpose. Because each of us need a purpose, God has given that to us in Jesus. If you've not found your purpose, you need to ask God to help you. And maybe some of your brothers and sisters in Christ here will help you learn what your spiritual gifts are, and then you can put them into use. Because you see, as a Christian, when we come to church and all we do is sit in the pew, we may not be happy with that. We may not be fulfilled, and eventually we kind of wander away because we have nothing to do. God has given us a purpose and a desire to have a purpose in life, and it's to fit in the body of Christ. Jack, back to him in Vietnam, he had a purpose. He was a gunner on a helicopter, and that purpose of that helicopter was to go in behind enemy lines and bring out wounded or trapped soldiers. If any of our veterans have ever been behind enemy lines, you were glad that Jack did his job. It was not a safe job, and as I said before, he volunteered for those because he wanted to die. And yet, for only reasons God knows, he survived all of those times in Vietnam. Brought out many, many soldiers on his helicopter. The job may be dangerous, but if God gives it to you, you can find fulfillment and purpose in doing what God asks you to do. We are all a part of God's family. In this church, there are people who have given of their time and their talents, and they are happy. And what I want to tell you this morning is that the reason you come to this church is because you're happy to be here, most of you. Some of you were brought and you were made to come. Sorry for that, but sometimes you need to be taught that. So they just have to drag you. I could go to church. I had a choice to go to church when I was young. When I became a teenager, my mom and dad set me down. They said, you have a choice. You can go to church with us, or you can go to church with us. I had a choice. And I'm glad they took me to church. I've asked a couple of people here this morning to share with you what purpose they have found here in the Glendale Seventh-day Adventist Church that gives them happiness and meaning. And without it, without that purpose, they really wouldn't be fulfilled in their ministry or in their being in the body of Christ here today. And I want you to listen because I'm going to have you exercise some faith here in a few minutes of saying, what is God asking me to do in the body? Where does he want to place me to build up his church? I see Anthony back there. We forgot to say anything about it, but you have it in your bulletin. And our secretary, bless her heart, put this on pink paper for a reason. It was for you and me, Anthony. It's a new chapter is forming of the Sabbath Keeper's Motorcycle Ministry, and Anthony has a ministry of meeting people who ride motorcycles and sharing with them the love of Jesus and the gospel. I've had a privilege of being part of that, not necessarily this group, but I'm going to be one of the founding charter members of this. This is going to be great. And you don't have to even ride a motorcycle to be a part of it. You have to have evangelism and the desire to reach people for God to be a part of that. And I want to ask Beatrice to come up here, because Beatrice has been a long-standing member of this church. She has found a lot of different things to do to be useful in this church of God, this temple that he has erected. And she has found joy and fulfillment in doing that. And I just want her to share with you her experience of what she's doing right now that brings her joy and being a part of the body of Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to do this. I had been in this church for maybe 12 years, and I remember that I was always sitting down, listening, but I didn't know what was my talent. And I remember when I was younger that I was worried about it. I wouldn't attend church, and I was worried about why was I in life? What was my purpose? And I later started going to church, studying the Bible, and I would hear people talking about talents, but I didn't understand that meaning. Until I start praying to God, and I'm sure that he guided me to find out what my talent was. So when I joined the choir, I'm sure that God sent me to the choir because that is very inspiring, singing to God. Then I hear of the Keys to Prophecy series, and somebody told me, would you like to work in this series? And I said yes. I was not sure that I wanted, but I said yes. So I started working, And it's a different when you are sitting down and listening is not the same as when you are working. That's a different story. You learn and grow. And then later I start working with the community services ministry. And in that ministry, I find out that that was my talent. The Lord guide me. Many people helping me. This is not our job. It's the Lord that guide us to do good to others, and that way we fulfill our mission in life. I don't know if I have time for a testimony. Last week, when I went to pick up food, the man that gives us the food, I complained to him, and I said, when I came last week, you gave me the worst onions. I had to throw them all away. And he said, okay. And he asked to one of the workers, is there more onions on that table? And he said, yes, but those are new onions. And then Jack said, give them to her. And he said, no, those are new. Give them to her. So the man had to give me the onions. And it's not because I wanted those onions, but because the Lord inspired him to give me those things, because those were not for me. Those onions, that food is not for me. It's for those that need to be fed. So I thank the Lord that being in this church, in the ministries, working, that have made a great impact in my life.
Beatrice has found something that she is excited about. You heard it. This is my talent. This is my gift. She's just one of many people in this church that have found a reason to be glad they're in the Glendale Seventh-day Adventist Church. And as one of the pastors, I'm glad to have the Beatrices in my church, the workers that go out and do things. I wouldn't have been asking for those new onions either. But some people enjoy those, and so I'm glad that you got them. Miles, I see you sitting back there. Are you going to come share with me this morning? He's going to bring his... is that a granddaughter slash friend? Little buddy, okay. Miles has taken on a job that Pastor Gary and I feel like is really vital, and that's evangelism coordinator. And when I asked him to do this, he wasn't so sure he was really happy doing it at that time, because about half of his crew that had said they would be here for a meeting didn't show up. But he still is happy most of the time.
Hello, my name's Miles. Been in Glendale Church for about 20 years. My greatest joy is this little one here. My grandchildren are about 3,000 miles away, and she filled a huge void, so we're buddies. As Pastor said, I work with the evangelism team, and we have a great group of people who are involved. We probably have upwards of 20 to 25 or more people on a nightly basis involved. So a lot of people, we rotate people so they don't get overloaded. So we probably have 70, 80 people involved over a set of meetings, which is a lot of people. But the blessing is tremendous. I've been involved with the church for a long time. For a number of years, I was the bus going down the street without a service on it, sitting in the pew, taking time and space and doing nothing or very little. And being involved in these set of meetings has been a double blessing. Number one, I work with a lot of great, wonderful people who are here give their time, their energies. They have families, they have commitments, they have jobs, all very demanding. And yet they take time to be here to help in God's work, to allow the gospel to be preached and Jesus lifted up, and that's awesome. So I've made some very, very close friends, and it's been great because life is about relationships. And secondly, probably the most important aspect of and the joy that I get from what I do is working with the people, one, but also the people that come in. We have a lot of people who come through our doors for the first time, some who have never heard the name Seventh-day Adventist before, some who have never heard the doctrines that we teach and believe at the church, and they're searching. They're looking for something in their life, hope, peace, strength, fellowship. And it's great to, as these people come in, to be able to be part of their lives, to get to know them, to talk to them, and see them come night after night and learn from the meetings and hear Jesus lifted up, his name exalted, and see these people give their hearts and their lives to Jesus. Some people, a number of people I see in the audience here have joined and become part of our church. I see people who come to the meetings, who aren't part of our, or who have been coming to the meetings, haven't joined our church, but they keep coming back. They're friends. It's great to see them. This week I had a couple people came by who came to the number the third and fourth set of meetings, and they just came in to say hi, to talk, to hear the message. It's awesome. What a blessing. And that's what life is all about, from my perspective, is helping people in our journey through life along the way, to help them, lift them up when they're down, encourage them, and above all, to help them to see Jesus and give them the hope and the peace that the world can't give. It's awesome. And like I said, we have a great, great, great team. I've got to tell you a little story here. Election night, we have obviously the church across the way here that was doing a polling place. And we had, I don't know how many people we had come in the front door wanting to vote. And of course they walked in the door and they're looking, this blank look on their face because there's no tables, there's no pollsters, there's nobody there except us. And so the people at the front door were directing them across the church or across the way to the other church. And of course, give them a brochure and tell them what we were doing here. And we had at least one or two couples who went and voted and came back and came to the meetings. You know, praise God. And but it's beautiful. And I say it's really has drawn me close to the Lord, give me new friends I hadn't had before, and joy and blessing in doing God's work and being part of his movement, his church.
If I had asked Beatrice to preach a sermon, she would have told me no. But this morning she preached a sermon to you. She gave her testimony of what God is doing for her and through her. If I would have asked Miles to preach a sermon, and I did, and he told me no, if I had couched it that way, he wouldn't have been up here today, but he just shared with you what God is doing for him. That's preaching the gospel. Jesus has touched my life, and it gives me joy to see others see Jesus. I'm going to close this sermon with an exercise in faith, because what I want you to do is to go home from today and saying, I am a member of the body of Jesus Christ. He is my cornerstone. He is my foundation. I want my life built on him. I want to be placed as a stone in his church to be used by him. But that takes faith. You know, you've heard it said, on three, we're going to do something. You know, on three, I want you to say cheese when you're going to take a picture. One, two, three. And what's the fourth thing to follow? You know, if you're doing it, go. We're really good at doing one, two, three. So it takes some faith to do the one, two, three, go. And I don't know who's going to exercise more faith here this morning, but I've got three young ladies who have been a part of preaching the gospel, not only here in Glendale, But one of them has traveled to the Dominican Republic and preached the gospel of Jesus. People have responded and been baptized. So I'm going to ask these three young ladies to come up here and to show you an exercise in faith. They're bringing up a Ziploc bag. Go ahead and come up. They're bringing up a Ziploc bag, and they're going to pour water into that Ziploc bag. This is no trick. But they're going to pour. Oh, Angie, do you have faith this morning? Okay. They're going to pour water into the Ziploc bag. They're going to seal the Ziploc bag, and then they're going to hold that bag over Angie's head. Nothing too spectacular about that, right? But then they're going to take a pencil, a sharpened pencil, and they're going to poke it through the bag. And then they're going to take another sharpened pencil, and they're going to poke it through the bag where there's water, not up at the top. Then they're going to take a third one, and they're going to poke it through that bag, and Angie is trusting that she's not going to get all wet. She's going to exercise the faith and sit there in her friends. Now, you guys got to do it right. I have faith that you can do this. So does Angie. Need some help? They're rigging it so she's going to get wet. Yeah. Okay, so here is this exercise in faith on Angie's part. No water. Oops, a little bit of water. Huh. What happened? Okay, put it in there. It worked this morning. It's kind of like these experiments that we do with different things. So they work back in the back room. Whoa. Okay, we'll clean it up. What was supposed to happen was what the first pencil went through. It was okay. Thank you, Angie, for getting wet. When you put water, I'll tell you how it works. When you put water in a plastic bag and you get all the air out of it and then seal it, it creates a vacuum. So that when you push that pencil through, the vacuum seals the bag where that pencil goes through. So we didn't get all the air out. Sorry. But I'm asking you, and you're going to get a little wet. This is great. This illustration worked out fine. You might go and do something and it doesn't work. But who are you doing it for? Who's the builder? Jesus. I've seen people who get up and they preach. I've coordinated about 200 meetings around the world now. And there's people who don't know how to preach, but they stand up there and they say, God, please use me. And they're the worst preachers I've ever seen. And yet somewhere between what I hear and what the people hear, the Holy Spirit goes and speaks to the hearts of those people. The bag might leak, huh, Ron? But the message is clear. God loves them. I can love him in return, and I want to give my life to them, and people respond to that. Family, today, I want you to look at the ministry or the place in God's church he has for you. Many of you are happy being in this church and you don't know why. I want you to take some time and figure out why you're happy here. And I think the bottom line is going to be that you are active in some way in ministry for the Glendale Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you're not really happy here, you're just coming, find out why and get involved in doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be happy, you will have purpose, and church will never be the same. Let's pray. Father God,